U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sidney Perdue, our guest here today. Mr. Secretary, we're at National FFA Convention. I know you're excited to be here.
We are excited to be here. These kids give you a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of inspiration. They're bright. They're real good citizens, and it's just good to be in their midst.
And there's a bonus today. They're going to get to meet the President of the United States.
Absolutely. It's going to be a special treat for them as President Trump comes to speak with them. I think it's the first time since a sitting president when the President George H.W. Bush came in 1991. So it's been a long time, and I think it goes to show how much President Trump values agriculture and young people.
Did you encourage him to make this trip to Indianapolis as well?
I won't claim credit for that, but we're glad he's here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some things that are going on at USDA. You're nearly 2 years in now to the position. How are things going from your perspective?
Well, about a year and a half and about 47 states later, then things are going well. We are, I think, making progress. We'd love to have a farm bill, and I think we'll get a farm bill before the end of the year. But we'd love to have had one without an extension here as it expired in September the 30th. But I think things are going well. I think the trade issues that we've seen are coming together nicely with the many people calling the new NAFTA or the UMNCA agreement between Canada and Mexico, a renewed agreement with South Korea, and now beginning serious conversations with the European Union and Japan. We're building out markets across the world. Hopefully China will then recognize that we're serious about playing fair, and they will just continue doing some of the things they've been doing in the commerce that will allow us to trade with them again.
Let's talk about some of those specifics. One of the things that's going on at USDA is you're looking at relocating ERS and NIFA. Over or around 130 or so communities have applied for that. I know you got to be encouraged that there's so many people that want a piece of USDA in their community.
Well, absolutely. These are good jobs. They're great locations, and I think it'll be good for both NIFA and ERS. These are about 139 expressions of interest from across the country, 34 different states, and we're delighted. I'm treating it just like a business relocation. If we've got a business and we want to relocate 700 employees, we're going out to different states and other institutions. They're expressing interest, our land-grant colleges and others. It'd be a great federal workforce to have in there, bringing a lot of bright young people to their campuses and to their communities. And we're excited. We've hired a relocation consultant to help us winnow these down, do it very objectively and transparently. And we're looking forward to the results.
How do you go about doing the narrow down? And will some of those communities be announced once you narrow down that list?
We will. I think we'll be, I don't know if there'll be two or three stages of that or not, but we will publicize the criteria, give these expressions of interest another chance probably to improve their resume or their offers in that way and do it. This is why we hired a private sector relocation consultant. They're pros at this in getting us the right place. It's our job to define the criteria that we're looking for. That's a lower cost of living, a low commute times, great quality of life, great schools, great communities for the families and the employees that will be employed at NIFA and ERS.
One of the things you mentioned was Farm Bill. Optimistic we're going to get that in place by the end of the year. I know that have all things a point of contention has been nutrition. You've said in the past, do right and feed everyone. It seems like that should be pretty simple, but this has become one of those areas that people have said, I got some issues with nutrition. Why is that?
Well, again, I think the House and the Senate have had different ideas about this. We've allowed some waivers. In 1996, when the welfare reform was done and this modern food stamp program was initiated, there was provision in slow economic times to have waivers when people could not find a job. There were not enough jobs available. But now in this environment where we have more jobs available than people to fill them, 3.7 unemployment, we don't think it's right to continue to allow people without a job that are able to work. We're talking about able-bodied working adults without dependents to just sit there and continue to be dependent upon the generosity and compassion of the American people. We believe they should be preparing themselves for a job. There's dignity there. Their families are going to be better off. We want to help these people through training or whatever means it goes to get back into the workplace, to get back going for their families.
another part of that nutrition discussion has been the focus on technology. Can we feed a growing world without using modern technology in agriculture?
Well, I'm not sure we can, even though our farmers continue to be so productive that prices are depressed because of their productivity. We're going to need everything. There's a lot of conversation over lab-grown protein now, and we're dealing with that with FDA and USDA. We're trying to determine the demarcation lines of regulatory authority and how we treat that to give the industry clear guidance about what the expectations and what the rules and regulations are about that.
One of those sticking points has been the Europeans. We saw that when GMOs were introduced. Are the Europeans still maybe our biggest threat on not wanting to see technology in agriculture?
I don't know that I'd call them a threat. I think I can't see why anyone in a hungry and growing world would want a technology-free zone like the EU does. From GMOs, they're still talking about treating gene editing, non-transgenic gene editing, as GMOs. It doesn't make any sense. It's been a long time since Europe's been hungry, and I think they've forgotten what it's like that way. If they think they're going to feed the world with their low technology or no technology there, it's rather hypocritical to me on these international meetings when they talk about hunger-free, getting rid of world hunger by 2030. I continue to remind them they're not going to do it with traditional means. We've got to look at all alternatives using the technology that God has blessed us with to grow more food for more people.
How about appointments? I know that you've still got a few spots that you'd like to get filled. How's that process going along? And some people have always asked the question, why does it take so long to get those appointments in place?
Well, I ask that question, why does it take so long? It's frustratingly slow, and unfortunately it appears that it's been a strategic slowdown with this administration and the appointments that President Trump has appointed. We've got very well-qualified people that have been on the list for over 200 days, and it's just not right. These people, there's nothing wrong with them individually. This is a political decision that the minority has made that's extremely unfortunate. We need people in place to get them done. We've got our civil rights person there. We've got our research education. You talk about NIFA, ERS. We're still looking for our research undersecretary. And we've got our food safety as well as our food nutrition people that we're looking for. So I'm very frustrated by the pace of confirmations, and I would certainly hope that we can get this done in the lame duck session.
You also mentioned our new NAFTA, USMCA. I like the fact that U.S. is the first few letters in that acronym.
Well, I think that's what President Trump insisted upon, because it is America first. He's unapologetically American, and has promised the ag community and the American economy he was going to fight for them. And that's what people like. They believe we've kind of bowed our head and bended our knee toward the international community for longer than we should have. We're a proud nation. We're exceptional in many ways, certainly in agriculture. And President Trump is standing up for that exceptionalism.
What kind of timeline can we expect?
On
USMCA.
Well, the timeline obviously depends on Congress. I think it'll be done in the first quarter. I frankly can't imagine. Some people have talked about the midterms and what will happen. This is a great deal. It's a good deal for agriculture. It's a great deal for the American worker, for auto industry and others. And I can't imagine it would not be confirmed by Congress.
Another trade friend is China. No secret there that we can tell the effects that it's had on agriculture. There's been a program that's been put in place, payments going out. You've talked about a second round of payments. Will that happen this year or 2019?
We're expecting it to happen in the fourth quarter, probably late November or December. I think probably early December would be a more appropriate time than around the Thanksgiving holidays.
And China itself. I know Ted McKinney's spent some time there, and we continue that conversation. It's not that nothing is happening. The negotiations are still going on with China. How optimistic are you?
We continue to have conversations. It's just a matter of when China makes up their mind, they want to play by the rules like the rest of the world is. It's not right, and President Trump, to his credit, threw the flag and called them out on the fact that they were forcing technology transfer of our intellectual property, and in fact, even sometimes deceptively stealing it. And that's not right. You can't have a trade platform between two countries if you're not playing by the same rules.
We know that they've been able to get supplies in from other countries, but we also know that the timeline has worked out where that's been okay. Is it going to take them to hurt just a little bit before they may step up and say, yeah, we need to get this done sooner than later?
We believe their economy is hurting much more than ours. If you look at their stock market, it's much different. Their economy, they're having some real issues there, and hopefully they'll understand this. In all of our best interest to come together and play by the WTO rules that international nations have given over the last several years, and come together and play fair.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, our guest today.